Hey everyone, welcome to GeekFest. Glad to have you all here. Hi Dusty.
Hi Aaron, how's it going?
Quick announcements, starting a couple weeks from now, May 5th, RSVPs will be required. And if you don't have one and you try to contact me that day, I will not let you in. I'm very sorry, but that causes a lot of extra work for me. Just so you know, not a big deal, but just try to RSVP ahead of time. And I'll announce this again next week, but it starts May 5th, just so you know. It just makes everything a lot easier. If anyone's looking for a job at Groupon, we're always hiring. If you want to come talk to me or some other people in the room work at Groupon, people in the green jackets, I can tell you what it's like to work here. It's pretty awesome. You can chat with us about that. If you want to speak, email geekfest@groupon.com, and we can talk about that. There's always a lightning talk slot for every single meetup, and I still haven't had anyone pick me up on that, but I really hope that someone does. And I'm also playing with the idea of the next lightning talks, like when all of it, the entire event's lightning talk, that we do, like, people talking about their personal organization workflows. Like, do you use OmniFocus or Evernote or sort of task manager? Like, how you use that and how it's useful to you? Because I find that a lot of people do that very differently, and it's always very interesting to see what people do. So if you're interested in that, let me know. I haven't decided necessarily, but if that sounds cool or you actually want to talk about your workflow, let me know about that too. Cool. So let's welcome John.
I'll talk about my workflow really quickly. It involves a lot of procrastination, and most of this presentation was done on 420, and a lot of editing took place this morning to get rid of the Bob Marley references and other weird manifestations of that. So it's a lot of familiar faces in the crowd, and it really means a lot to me, you guys coming out. It's, hope you enjoy the presentation. I'm going to talk about a subject that I'm not an expert on by any stretch, but I'm very, very enthused, and I talk everyone's ear off about it, so I figured I'd talk to you guys about it. Those of you who don't know me, my name is John Soder. I'm a president of a company called Architects.io. We're a software consultancy. We focus mainly on planning software, and we actually have a software that's called the Software Blueprint, and that's actually where I learned and discovered Node WebKit and a lot of the advantages of that, and it's been really helpful. We are looking for new clients, so hit us up, Full Stack Rails. These are my boys watching me code. If you guys didn't pay good money for this talk, I would happily recite love poems about them for the next hour, but if you guys pay good money, I'm going to give a presentation. If you want to follow along, there is a project that you can check out on this GitHub link here. I'll talk kind of more about the structure of that project. But otherwise, I'm just going to just give the talk. And so kind of what I'm gonna cover in this talk, I'm going to talk about Node WebKit. It's not called Node WebKit anymore. It started off as Node WebKit. They rebranded it. It's now called NWJS. I'm going to stroll through a couple of sample applications to talk about some interesting parts and go over an application that I've built. And then I'm going to discuss some fun things that we could build together using Node WebKit. Obviously not in the time that we have today, but one of my hopes in giving this talk is make some friends. I'm not going to lie, it's kind of lonely out there for a G when you're a remote worker, work by yourself. I'd like to meet some potential collaborators for my open source talk, my open source project ideas, which hopefully I can get to discussing about. And more importantly than that, I really think Node WebKit is a great tool for building software. And I'm hoping that, there are a lot of great software developers in this room. I'll inspire you to be creative with it and hopefully learn about what you create. Can I just talk about me? I want to kind of learn about who's in the room. I know most of you guys are software developers, but are there some Rails developers or pure Node.js developers, HTML? Like, what is the kind of makeup? Is anyone familiar with Node WebKit or Node.js and NPM? Anyone not familiar with these things? Okay, well, it doesn't matter because by the time you leave this talk, you're going to be a straight boss. So Node WebKit is, the links you could follow there. It's not just some random open source project. You can actually bank on it. I would bet big money on this project. It's backed by Intel. It powers apps like Popcorn Time. I thought about actually firing up Popcorn Time and releasing some Game of Thrones spoilers on you guys, but I decided not to. Kindle Cloud Reader, Lighttable IDE, and the Atom Editor from GitHub are all based on Node WebKit. Atom Editor is a fork of it, but I'm not going to get into that. But either way, it powers a lot of impressive stuff. What really excites me about Node WebKit or NWJS, I still don't know what to call it, is if you look at this code here, those of you familiar with Node and those of you familiar with just classical JavaScript, you'll see that I'm requiring some Node modules, and then I'm just doing a standard DOM operation. So what Node WebKit allows you to do is it takes the power of Node.js and server-side programming, and it gives you a combined runtime with the browser environment that you're already familiar with. So this is pretty crazy, and it's not as it seems up front. It's maybe not as it's, this example is trivial, but when the things that you can do with it are pretty crazy. So this is what really kind of excites me about it. So if you look at that code there, you can kind of see, and if you run the example that I created, you can see that I'm actually inside of a browser window. I'm just listing my home directory. So the fact that I can develop an application that runs on my desktop that can work with my local computer, my local file system, I can run all of the Node modules that you would run on a standard server. I mean, this has pretty huge architecture implications, and there's a lot of applications that you could develop in this way that, you know, traditionally those of us who are coming from the Rails background and, you know, PHP and other environments, like a lot, we had to do a lot of things on the server just because the web browser is, for good reason, is a sandbox environment, and it doesn't allow you to access the person's computer because it would just be a disaster if you could. But, you know, if you know what you're doing and you're willing to take the risk of allowing this, the potential use cases are limitless. Like, if you could just come up with an idea right now and shout it at me, I could probably guarantee you that it's doable and that it would be a good product. And it's actually really, really easy to create. It's just standard HTML, JavaScript, CSS, and then this file here, package.json, just configures like what the window's going to look like and other sort of settings. Just those two things, and you have a desktop application that you can code in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. You could distribute these apps across platform, Windows, OS X, and Linux. That's ridiculously powerful, in my opinion. But the really cool thing is, for me, is when you're developing a traditional web app and serving it over a web server that people have to download, like, you have to think about like network latency, how big the files are. Like, all this shit is less of a concern in Node WebKit because it's a sandbox environment, and there's no such thing as cross-browser anymore. You just have Chrome. So you don't have to worry about IE compatibility or anything like that. It's like, it really, in my opinion, unlocks the power of HTML and JavaScript in ways that I haven't seen in years. The HTML5 support, like, a lot of times when you want to do some pretty crazy things with HTML5, such as WebRTC for like peer-to-peer, or if you want to use the new HTML components, which are amazing, these things just come for free. You don't have to worry about, oh, is this going to work and how's this going to degrade in browsers that don't support it. Like, it's just a much better experience developing HTML when you don't have to worry about these things. So this is a pretty big deal. WebGL is like, you could build some pretty good games with it, and people have. It's 3D accelerated, so it's a really good runtime. Cons, I don't even really consider these that big of cons, but the cross-platform release requires that you have to have all the operating systems on your computer, which is okay. Like, there's ways around that. It requires a lot of adjustments to your thinking for how you structure an application because you don't have the server anymore. A lot of people who I've introduced this to, they're like, well, how do I get Express running? You know, Express is a server that handles HTTP requests, and that's a very common sort of thing because people are used to all of their apps literally having to have a server power everything, and that just goes away. You can use the Node modules directly without any sort of HTTP requests from your app, from your user interface to the backend sort of server. So that's a huge adjustment. It simplifies architecture considerably. But there's a lot of adjustments to that people who have developed for the web just aren't used to. And, you know, MVC is a term that gets thrown around a lot in web development communities, but You actually have to learn actual MVC patterns as they relate to desktop programming when you're developing for the desktop. And there's very similar, but you can see when you build a complex application, it's not enough to just have files that are MV or C. Like, you actually have to think about the architecture considerations of this. But that's all very easy. Anyone can do it. Just some stuff that you should be aware of. This actually really excites me more than the technical stuff that I just kind of went up. HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, those are probably, in my opinion, the most autodidactic friendly languages out there. I taught myself HTML, CSS, and JavaScript in like the 90s just by like going to a website and viewing source. And the community obviously out there teaching that is probably bigger than any other community. And those are all open languages, so it's just a really big boost to HTML, to these languages, that you can now build desktop applications with them. I'm always very in awe of people that can do native desktop programming or native programming at all with C++ or whatever other technologies they're using. To me, that just seems too hard, unapproachable. I've been intimidated by it. It's been like a big bully. So when I discovered Node WebKit and I realized the things that you could do with it, it just really excited me. And the other the cool thing about it, I mentioned it, is servers are only really necessary when servers are actually necessary now. You don't need to have a server just because that's the only way of delivering back-end application code. And so, in my opinion, this is probably the biggest advantage of it, because there's a lot of ideas that I would love to develop. And one of the biggest limitations for me has been, okay, well, I have to have a server, and then I have to pay for that server, which means I have to charge people money. So there's a lot of applications that if you were a traditional web developer, that you would just not be able to do because of the server and because you now have all these economic considerations for the app. You just can't write the app and sell it like you could back in the day. So the fact that this kind of opens up a new economic model that makes it actually profitable to write just apps in HTML and CSS, that I think is a big deal, and it makes a lot of apps which would otherwise be daunting to try or just not economical, it makes them possible. And I'll show you one of those in particular. This was talking about back in the day how I even got into web programming in the first place. I'm a lazy ass dude with this. Everyone who knows me, that's probably the biggest complaint they have of me. I started out fixing laptops and developing software for this office, and I would have to go from computer to computer to computer to update the software on this application I was developing. It was written in Microsoft Access. It was a Microsoft Access database, and everyone, you know, is a shared database, just like a standard app that you would use today on the web. But going from computer to computer to computer to update these and configure the desktops, like, it was a real pain in the ass, and I was very, very happy to get away from that model and develop on the web, because I could just write the code on my server and just deliver it to the client. So that's one of the main advantages of the web. And this was like late 90s that I was doing this, and we've kind of been stuck in that model of delivering apps where most of the business logic is on the server, and then the clients were just, you know, making requests to it. So it's the fact that we're getting away from that now, it's a different environment, because since it's most of the application code is HTML, you can still deliver it over the network. You can still do your updates dynamically. I don't have to get up off my ass and go update a application. I could just do it over the web. But the application itself can run offline just on a desktop. And that's for a lot of business type apps, that's actually a really good thing. And there's a lot of apps that you could just develop in that model. But doing that, it's not just all easy. Like, coming from a background of developing for the web, like, I forgot just like what desktop apps, like actual user experience, like things like keyboard shortcuts or Windows menu or accessibility. You know, all these things are things that I don't have to think of as a web developer in the browser, because the browser runtime itself does that for me. But when you're using this platform to develop apps, like, you have to kind of relearn some of those things, just because people have different expectations when they're using an app versus a web app. And so you have to kind of accommodate for those. But luckily, the Node WebKit environment makes it ridiculously easy. Like adding menus. Really, really easy. I'll just kind of show you just an example real quick. You can follow along too if you just type npm run example02. got it, man. I usually have like size 38 in my terminal anyway, but yeah, so just running this example, you can see this is the code example from example one, but you see I have these window menus up here. So it's just a very traditional app now, and it's Node WebKit made it very easy. You know, just to go back and look at the code really quickly. You know, all this stuff is documented. The documentation for the Node WebKit project is really stellar. I'm actively kind of trying to improve, and I got a couple pull requests I'm making to make it easier. But you know, interacting with this sort of native UI, they make it extremely easy. It's all done through JavaScript, and just creating like a custom menu is very easy. So the UX concerns that you need to learn when you're developing an app like this they're very approachable, and anyone can do it. Okay, so if you are interested in developing these things, you know, here's a link to some stuff. The like I said, the wiki's really good, and there's a few pages on there that if you learn those, if you just read them, you're going to be a pro. If you know HTML and JavaScript and you read that, you're going to be able to do, you know, whatever you imagine. And if you want to get stuck or if you want to learn more, this Popcorn Time is, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. I've never used it personally just because I don't believe in software piracy. But this app allows you to Popcorn Time does is it connects to the torrent sites out there, and it just streams torrents directly like Netflix directly on your computer. And so it is a cool app to use, but it's an even cooler app to learn from because they're combining a lot of great technologies, like a BitTorrent client, a video streamer, and obviously like a pretty nice web UI. So this is actually how I learned to do almost everything in Node WebKit, was just by looking at the Popcorn Time source. And kind of going to go back to what I was saying earlier about what really excites me about this, the fact that you could just view the source of a lot of these applications and actually learn how to develop them and hack on them yourselves and make changes to them just with a text editor, like that's pretty ridiculous. I think most people out there, I know when I looked at the meetup, a lot of people are learning how to code, and like, I admire you. I don't envy the situation a lot of new developers are in because it's just 10 times harder than it was when I started. Like, you have to learn all sorts of server-side languages, build tools to run your, you know, to compile, like, Grunt and Gulp. There's just a lot of, like, barriers to developing in this environment that Node WebKit is... could potentially remove, and that's one of the things I kind of want to talk about to kind of close up this talk. You know, one of the really cool advantages of Node WebKit, like I said, the ability to combine all of your server-side libraries that you're familiar with in NPM, as well as all the front-end client libraries from Bower. I mean, you can literally do whatever JavaScript enables you to do directly on your computer without being connected to the internet, and it just gives you a lot of potential. One of the sort of biggest areas, in my opinion, that deserves exploring and which I would like to invite you to explore with me is developer tools. You know, especially for new developers, but also when you're, you know, in my business, I work with a lot of user experience designers, visual designers, HTML, CSS developers who don't know backend languages, who don't know these things. And so collaborating with them in a Rails environment or other setup can be pretty difficult and intimidating. But now that we have the ability to write an app and distribute it to them, and we have the full power of JavaScript on their computer and a UI that we can develop, that we're comfortable developing in, we could build there's a whole category of apps that we can build that basically make it easier for us as developers to collaborate with other non-developers by giving them the power to use the JavaScript runtime and the tools that we like to use, like Less or Sass or CoffeeScript, which I still love, or even like the JS or the ES6 transpilers and all these other things. Since we're able to package up the Node environment in a executable that someone could just download, we can write user interfaces that let people use these advanced tools without having to set up their own developer environment. And so I've included just kind of a proof of concept of this app here. So this is, I don't know how many people are familiar with like CodePen. See, this is an example when I'm talking about the UX is different. Like Node WebKit doesn't even give you like, you have to implement, minimize, maximize on your own. Luckily, I got hacks for that. So, you know, this is just a, what Stylish.io is it's a Node WebKit app that combines all the preprocessor languages and to give you a live editing environment where you can live edit HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And this is just a proof of concept, but what I would like to do is anyone that's interested in Node WebKit and that wants to develop these things, my company, Architects, is going to make a pretty big capital investment in a product that we can base on this proof of concept, and I'm looking for collaborators or, and it's going to be open source, I'm looking for collaborators or people who are apprenticing and want to learn software development to come work on this tool with me, because I think it's going to be awesome. It's based on Node WebKit, and I think it's a really good learning experience if you want to learn it, play with this. You know, this is what I envision I would like to do with this is distribute it to HTML, CSS people who are learning it and who want to collaborate with us on our sort of complex front-end architecture that uses, you know, tools that they're not familiar with, and basically give them a live editing environment where they can edit the less and they could sort of make the visual changes directly in this app without having to have our development environments running on the machine. You can inspect the code of this project in the example. And one of the things is that I wanted to show about this is like I said, all these things from Bower, underscore, React, PouchDB, these are all like libraries that that I'm combining. You can kind of see here I'm doing the standard Node.js backend stuff so I could access the file system. And then just creating the app. So all of the sort of third-party dependencies that we rely on, you can just pull them all in and make some pretty advanced applications. You know, like I said, this is all sort of live editing. So as you, because you just this is so if you were to hand this to an HTML CSS developer and let them use less and let them use your, you know, integrate with your development environment, they could start contributing to your projects in ways that they haven't before. And so this is all just something that's made possible by Node WebKit. And it's I actually did try this application like three or four years ago, and it's something called CodeSync. It's probably still up, and it actually when I kind of talk about how, and I did this right around the time CodePen, my domain expired. But this, so I tried to build this app in a server environment, and I just couldn't release it to the wild because I didn't know how I could safely let people run their own arbitrary code on my server and like use my development environment. And with Node WebKit, I no longer have to do that. So, like I said, I think it opens up a lot of possibilities. Okay, yeah, so I think that's pretty much it. I wanted to just open it up for Q&A, and if there's anyone wants to make, you know, if you want to challenge me to write a markdown editor in 2 minutes just to kind of show how easy it is to build anything, I'm happy to try and live code it for you, but please be nice and don't request that, but I'm happy to do it. And if anyone has any questions. No, not yet. Like I said, I'm not an expert in this yet, and it's still something I'm enthused about. But so I haven't had to distribute it to the world yet, just internally. So I've luckily not had to do that. But I I think the wiki has a whole section on installers for like Windows in particular, and I think it's called like NP API or something. Like there's different installers that are pretty well supported. The Quick Start project that I linked to, it's actually based on something called NW Boilerplate, and one of the things that it gives you, other than advice on the structure of how you structure your project, it gives you a lot of helpers for making releases and using the installer. This one in particular uses NSIS, it's called. So there's definitely support there and well documented, and the Quick Start that I released makes it that part of stuff automated for you. So if you just run a single command.
Depending on your use case, I've had good luck distributing just through npm. Mm-hmm. So you do an npm install dash g to whatever your project name is.
Yeah.
And then because of the way that the npm pulls in the modules, you actually don't have to do separate deployments for OS X, Linux, or Windows. It just pulls in the correct things, and if you have native dependencies, then it will compile those for you on install.
What's your name?
Dusty,
thanks a lot. Yeah, he's especially for developer tools, you could just distribute them, and developers already have the stuff running on their environment, so it's even easier. I've been lucky to just distribute to a Mac user. The user experience designers that work with me who don't have NPM and stuff, I just give them a DMG for the app, and they run it. So I'm looking forward to trying out with Windows, because I do have a couple of business clients that would like desktop apps, and I haven't even gotten into that yet, so... Thanks a lot, Dusty.
So you don't need a browser at all to run these. WebKit is contained within whatever package.
Correct. Depending on your app, obviously, like if you want to open a link to an outside site, you can hijack the links to make them open in your default browser. There are some security concerns and security precautions you need to take and some vulnerabilities. You know, obviously, the reason that they never... The reason the browser are sandboxed anyway is for security reasons, so that you can't in a native environment, you have like code signing, and you know, you have some at least control in theory over the binaries that run on your machine, so it's safe to just run people's code, but on the web it has to be sandboxed. So for most apps, like you don't necessarily need a browser, and if you do, opening up a dedicated browser is available to you. But yeah, if it's just something that's going to be running locally on a machine, you don't need a browser. Chromium, which is the basis of Google Chrome, is just distributed. So when you build the app and release it, and you know, you get an EXE or whatever, and someone double clicks on it, it's just like a normal desktop app to them. But to you, it's a browser, just like any other.
So do you have to have a Chrome installed on yours?
Nope. Everything. So that's actually one of the other things. A lot of the apps that you distribute are typically around like 80 megs. It's because they package up Chrome and Node in this binary. I mean, but 80 megs is nothing. It's self-contained. And I neglected not to include it in this presentation, but there's another project called Traveling Ruby. I'm a Rubyist by heart. I love it. I'm having a hard time even getting away from that language. But there's another project called Traveling Ruby that allows you to package up a Ruby project and all the gems in a similar fashion. And one of the projects that I'm really excited about building is called Brief, and it's basically written in Ruby. I've invested a ton of time into this. I'm actually one of the sort of proof of concept. Brief is the thing that allows me to let people write applications using nothing but Markdown as their sort of main data store. So in order to make other people, non-developers, be able to use this application, I need to provide a user experience for it. A user interface for it, and I don't want to rewrite my Ruby stuff, so I'm actually crazily considering bundling up Traveling Ruby and No WebKit. So you actually have it's like a 200 meg binary, but people can run Ruby, JavaScript directly in this little UI, and they don't need to have any development environment. So that was one of my 420 ideas last year, and I still think it's really good, but it was a little crazy. I neglected not to put it, but this sort of pattern of just packaging up these binaries and distributing them, I think there's a ton of potential there, and I hope someone runs with that idea and hollers at me, and we could maybe do some great things together.
Thank you.
Is it suggested to access a database, say, like in a desktop fashion, create your own data structure or something like that, or to use a normal like server side?
So it's going to depend on your own development environment or on a server. Like connecting to MySQL is possible. If you have a MySQL server that you can connect to over the network, you can just connect to it. I actually like this project called PouchDB. And PouchDB is like a CouchDB like interface. It works 100% in the browser. And so I use PouchDB as my sort of data store, and then I sync to a CouchDB server. And then any other, you know, if I need to pull it into my SQL database in the server, I can kind of do that. But there's a lot of options available in this environment for doing database persistence, including MySQL if you have it running on your machine or if you have it on a network host that you can connect to. Like I said, anything that you can do in Node, you know, you can now do on the people's PCs. You don't need servers for a lot of things now.
What kind of mobile implications does that have?
Mobile? None. Like this is right now, it's just a desktop environment only. Yeah, a lot of like, web versus native debates that happen on mobile. A lot of those sort of reasons for one or the other is those are not really relevant in a desktop environment because you have a very fast processor and you can kind of control the size of the viewport. So a lot of the things that are just a pain in the ass when you're developing on mobile, in addition to the cross-browser stuff that I mentioned earlier, like those are just concerns that I don't even worry about anymore when I'm developing on this particular platform.
So idea is, if you want to really set it down on a tablet or something, if they're powerful enough, you could do that if they have a Chromium engine?
So that's the other thing, too, is the Node WebKit wiki, it talks about something they call the app protocol. And what the app protocol is it's kind of a way of tricking the browser so that if you have a web app and you have a web-based code base and you've already got a lot of invested in that, you can use this sort of app protocol and Slack, I don't know if Slack's built on Node WebKit, but Slack or Spotify are two other examples that are built on embedded Chromium. They have a web-based version and they have a desktop version and they share a ton of code. So you could definitely have the code base that runs your web that might be power your mobile app. Like you could share a lot of code between those two things. But as far as the UI is concerned, it's just a different. It's just a different concern. Okay, is that all? In the back.
Excuse me for earlier. I thought you just listed operations, but I'm just interested in the prospects with regard to access peripherals on your.
That's a great question too, because I remember back in the day when I decided to take this company I was working for, like I said, let's move to the web. I didn't think through a lot of that because I was young and dumb. And one of the use cases that we had for this app that I was developing using browser was label printing and other sort of stuff in the warehouse. So I had to go through a ton of hoops to make that work that I wouldn't have had to if I was just stuck with the native platform. But currently in Node WebKit, there's actually like one of the things they're actively working on for this release is a better sort of integration with like the printer system. And there's also like you could just anything on a computer like, shell out to the like a C++ environment or other sort of interfaces on the operating system to integrate with peripherals. So whereas on the web, there's a lot of peripherals that you couldn't like a 3D printer necessarily that you couldn't interact with without going through a ton of hoops. Now this is kind of allows you to build an application with web technologies that still integrate with all the peripherals, which is something I'd love to explore if I had the time. But yeah, so that's a great question. And like I said, my experience moving everyone to the web browser before, it was kind of, that's actually a hard thing that's not so hard anymore. Anyone else? Thanks for that good question in class. All right. So should have put a slide with my contact information. Like I said, one of my hopes in giving this talk was to obviously talk about something I'm extremely excited about. And if anyone wants to develop applications with me, open source stuff, I'm working by myself. You know, it's hard to find people to collaborate with, and that's not something I'm necessarily good at. So hopefully with 100 people in the room, there's a couple people that are interested in this and they want to build something together. My email is john@chicago.com, J-O-N. I paid, let's see, I had my shit up here. There we go. Get me SoderPop on Twitter or john@chicago.com, J-O-N, and hopefully we can build some stuff together. Thanks, everyone, for your time, and like I said, hit me up if you have any questions. Really appreciate it. Oh, man, thanks for having me.